Sì, no, perché è solo più su nel fattore.
Ok, tutto va.
As we announced, I want to speak this evening about the topic related to Erudin. Just as a community subject this week, because of the appeal for support for the Erudin. But it's interesting that it also connects a little bit to the Kedah, somewhat indirectly. Actually, it would have been more appropriate perhaps to speak about Erud Kumin. Because the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yechet, when Yaakov Avinu came back after successfully vanquishing the Malach of Esav and that Zephon match, and then emerging successfully from his face-to-face meeting with Esav, everything was okay. So it says, Vayavar Yaakov Shalem Yechem, came a complete whole to the city of Kran. And the Chacham explained, Shalem means Shalem the Gufo, Shalem the Mamono, Shalem the Tarasa. He was okay financially, he was okay health-wise, he was okay in terms of his Torah, and he survived all these tribulations. And then it says, and he camped outside the city. He set up his camp outside the city. So the Ramban and Chumash, on this passage, quotes the Medrash in Brachos Rabbah, Parshas Tes, which says, Vayichan, that he arrived on Erev Shabbos. That he was arrived right outside the city on Erev Shabbos. And according to one version of Medrash, there wasn't enough time for him to get into the city on Shabbos, so that he couldn't travel anymore. And so it says he was Koveya Kumin. He set up, we have a din that you're not allowed to walk beyond a certain amount of, beyond a certain distance past the city limit, called Kum Shabbos. Yaakov was Koveya Kumin. He was the one who instituted that, so to speak, or he at least observed it. After the Medrash says, we see from there that Yaakov Avinu kept Shabbos. And in fact, I mentioned to you this morning that the early Siddurim, Rashi and the Siddurashi and the Machlevitri, some of the Siddurim that happened to be shown in, explain that this is the makor for the phrase that we said in Mincha, Avam Yodei Yitzchak, Yaakov Uvonov Yonukuvo. The concept of the Menucha is associated with Yaakov Uvonov. Because Yaakov set up, as some say, he set up an Erev Kumin, because he was outside the city, but his children were with the flock somewhere else, and wanted to be able to get together on Shabbos, so there's what to talk about in terms of Erev Kumin. But nevertheless, I'd like to speak about Erev Chaseris tonight, not as Erev Kumin, although they're clearly connected. The Gemara says, it mentioned this two weeks ago, we spoke about Erev Chaseris. The Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Yud Dalet, the bottom of the base, that the Yaakov, that the Shlomo Melech was one who instituted Erevin. Rashi there defines Erevin as the last Rashi of the Dalam of Mezi Shabbos. Hosnaim lehotzah Shabbos, the also the host of the Shusha or the Shusha of Erevin, also please his name was Shusha Yaakov. The whole concept is even not to be able to transfer something from one Rishut to another, even from Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid, this is instituted by Yaakov, and it's called a Takana. It's interesting, the concept of Takana, we realize it's in the close of post, as there says, you know, there are other things that Shlomo HaMelech did also. That's, that Shlomo HaMelech also instituted Shriyas HaRayas and other things, so the Balai Tosfos point out that doesn't count as that's a shiur, but this is something which is better, which improves things, so to speak. The Sam Sofer has a shuv in our time Shimon Sadi Tess, where he says that it's to respond. A certain rub sent him a shiur, should he build an heir of his community or not? That was the question. So obviously it has to be halachically acceptable, halachically doable, but if so, the Sam Sofer is not interested in it. It's a tikkun on a number of different levels. Number one, it's a tikkun because it keeps people away from Kilo Shabbos. And number two, it enables people to enhance their sense of enjoyment on Shabbos. So it's certainly an obligation. This concept that Eddie has mentioned earlier, the Rosh has a tshuva in the Tshuva Rosh, called Chof Aleph Sim Ches, he writes that a Rosh is responsible to build an Eiv in his community. It's possible to do it. The Gemara seems to imply that way. And it's mentioned in the Tshuva Rosh as well, Sim Sim Sam as well, or Chaim Tishu Gimel, that it's proper for somebody to, for a Rosh, it's possible to see to it that there's an Eiv in the community. So I just wanted this evening to present, so I know that Bachayom is learning Erevin, so it's just an appropriate time maybe just to go over some of the basic ideas that touch on the issue of setting up an Erev Chaseros, that enable people to carry. We're very familiar with it. In fact, that most of our children never even heard of the idea of not carrying on Shabbos. People's children don't even realize. I remember when I was a kid, there was no Erev here in Teaneck, And Muncie, or part of Muncie, I never remember, it was a big thing, because I went to Muncie for my friend's house for shopping. Oh, you could carry it, wow. Like your whole excitement, you're going to carry the street right beside the corner of Muncie. Muncie can give you a cat, not a Muncie helps me, or that's a different problem. But now it's, what Orthodox community doesn't have an area? It's almost unheard of that's not that an area. So I just wanted to, I think it's worthwhile, go from time to time. Many years ago we spoke about it in one of the Shabbos Shurim. In other words, I thought it would be worthwhile to review it and understand, appreciate what the Erev is about. So I don't have some of these, I have to read some of these sources inside just to try to just kind of give an overview, because it's a very, very broad subject. Again, those who are learning about, they only know. It's a very complicated, some of the Erev is a very complex subject, but one of the most complicated assessors now to have the this is the Gemara, have pictures and the Moral stuff. I only did a very nice job, I think, to explain what the case is about, what it looks like. It's difficult. So give but not a difficult topic, but we'll try and get through some basics. The first one really knows that the Gemara has in the beginning of the Shabbos is that one detail by Bob, that there are different Mishuas, different areas with respect to Hilchos Shabbos in terms of defining a domain. It's clear from the Gemara that we have a Rishus HaYochid, a Rishus HaRabim, a Kamalist, and a Mokhan Ketur. Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim are the easiest to define literally. Rishus HaYochid means a property that belongs to a Yochid, to an individual, as opposed to Rishus HaRabim, which is property that belongs to the Rabbin. However, as we'll see, the definition of Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and Halacha is not defined primarily by ownership. Because I have a backyard, that's technically Rishus HaYochid, and I can put up a sign, no trespassing. But if it's not the same sin, if it's not enclosed, then according to the halacha, it would not be considered a rishus hayochid. So, and you could have a public domain where anybody can walk on a street out here, anybody can walk, but it could be that it's not considered a rishus harabim according to halacha. So one thing to realize right off the bat is that the definition of rishus harabim and hayochid in regards to halacha is not defined only, although we'll see a little later that ownership does have some role, but we have to wish it. But it's not defined by, who owns it, the other title, or who's entitled to walk there, not to walk there, and so on. Basically, before getting to the definition, the Gemara learns in the Masechet Shabbos, Aftarim of Mazay, from the time that they collected donations for the Mishkan, so Moshe Rabbeinu informed the people that he sent the word around that people should stop giving. The only time in history that there was an appeal was made, they told everyone enough. I don't know any other field of history that had that kind of success, that told the people, Marvin Homer, I'll be there too much. So the Gemara learns from this that it was on a Shabbos that Moshe made this announcement. He was telling the people they cannot bring any more of the donations, the materials for the Mishkan from their private homes, their private tents, which is the Rishus HaYochid, to the Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain, which is where Moshe was, where they were gathering the stuff for the Mishkan. And the Gemara learns that this is the source for the Malach of Hosar, which is one of the 39 Malachas. These are on the list, it's the last, one of the last of the Malachas, Malach HaLashon. And again, it's mentioned in the Mishnah about Ein Gimel and Aleph, which was called the 39 Malachas, one of the Malachas is HaLashon. And the Gemara there explains that carrying something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, was also is carrying something 4 amos or more, say 6 to 8 feet, within a Rishus HaRabim, that's also not allowed. There's some question that may be a halacha or Sinai, but either way, it's certainly considered also from the it's also from the Torah. And the Rambam quotes in Parag Yudbeis of the Shabbos halacha Ches, the Torah and the Chaim from Sinai at the beginning. These are all prohibitions in the Torah, and it includes not only carrying, but if you're throwing or any other means of transferring an item within a Rishus HaRabim. Again, how do we define Rishus HaRabim? How do we define Rishus HaRabim? So the Sukkot says in the end of Sin Shimon Hay, Sin Shimon Hay says, base, a Rishus HaRabim is an area which measures at least 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, not too big, more area, and it's 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, and it's enclosed by some kind of a fence or a wall or any kind of enclosure, partition, which is at least 10 Tfachim, that's let's say 38 inches or so, 35 to 40 inches high. That's the definer of Rishus HaRabim. And also, if you have an elevated area, like a mound, so then we view the top of the mound, because we view it as if the walls, the sides of the dirt, the sides of the mound continue to go up, so that area is also called a Rishus HaYochid. Now we would think off the bat that if that's a Rishus HaYochid, or anything else is Rishus HaRabim. But the Gemara also gives precise definitions for a Rishus HaRabim, that's in Siv Zion, over there in Sin and Shimon Hay. And again, it's all derived from different Gemaras. Among the rules, we say area has to be at least 16 amas wide, about 24 to 32 feet wide, at least 16 amas wide, we call it Rishus HaRabim, has to be not enclosed, not surrounded by a wall or a fence or a gate or anything like that. It has to be not covered, it can't be an covered area. And also, it has to be open at each end. There has to be some kind of a thoroughfare that can go from one end to the other. The pool should be found or shot, you know, some road or some path that goes from one end unobstructed to the other side. So the Gemara always explains in the beginning of Shabbos that all of this has to do because this is the way it was structured in the Mishkan. Everything that we know from Hilchos Shabbos in terms of what's also in Shabbos is parallel to what was done in the Mishkan in terms of how the people, what materials they used and what actions they did. So that's Hilchos Shabbos, a model that the actions they did for the building of the Mishkan. And here, when it talks about transferring, so since the issue was, as we just mentioned before, to transfer something, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you cannot bring donations to Mishkan from your Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. So the definition of Siyachid and Shalabim are modeled after what was set up in terms of structure in the Mishkan. Say again? Right, exactly. The wagon that transported was 16 amas wide. Right. That was considered a public thoroughfare, so to speak. Yeah. So what if an area is not a Rishus HaRabim because it lacks these specifications? I left that one specification on purpose. I'll come back to it in a second. Okay, an area lacks these specifications, but it also doesn't meet the specifications of a Rishus HaYachid. So that's what's called a Kamalut. Those who are interested, by the way, in these definitions, the Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Hilchos Erevin, Sin Mem Hei, has a little Hakdama, for some of the definitions of the Arba Rishus. You can look it up there and see it. A Kamalut, according to the Torah, it would be okay to carry within a Kamalus, or to carry from a Rishus HaRabim into a Kamalus, or from a Kamalus into a Rishus HaRabim, or from the Yachid, or the Kamalus is sort of an in-between kind of status. However, the Rabbanan prohibited this, and therefore there are more rights in there in Sin Mem Vav. It's similar that most unenclosed areas today have a din of a Kamalus. Okay, so Midr Rabbanan is prohibited to carry from a Kamalus into, or you're allowed to carry within a Kamalus, and you're allowed to transfer from a Shmeyachit to a Kamalus, or from a Kamalus into a Shmeyachit. So we treat a Kamalus, Midr Rabbanan, like it is Rishus HaRabim, for all intents and purposes. Either way. Or from a Kamalus to a Rishus HaRabim, that should be okay, because the whole there was that it was just a rabbin, a kamalus was like it was a rabbin, so it confused people. That should, I think, I better check it out, but I think it's okay. If you look it up, Mr. Brewer, you can look it up now, but I won't take the time. I said I'm not going to read so much inside now, because there's a lot to cover, give an overview of the subject. So this is the definition of a kamalus. There are more routes. Most of our places today are considered a kamalus. Now, when you want to go ahead to convert a Kamalus into a Rishus HaYachid, there's a way to do it. There's also a way to convert a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid, but the ways are not the same. A Rishus HaRabim can be converted into a Rishus HaYachid if you build basically a wall, like the Gemara said in the Erev and Daf Chaf Beis, so Mole Dalsus and Shalayim, and all of Allah, if you build walls in Shalayim, were not closed and locked at night, then it would also be a Rishus HaRabim, implying that it's not a Rishus HaRabim because it has walls, and the walls are locked periodically and so on. So there are ways to convert a real Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid, namely by setting up a system of certain type of glossos. I'm not going to speak about tonight, although I will tell you that the area on the west side of Manhattan, which is the real Rishus HaRabim, so they don't have the same kind of area that we have. They have some kind of a system with doors and hinges. I've never seen it myself, but I've heard it described. I know that the chapter proves that the recent theory, I don't know exactly, maybe not whether people all use it, anybody, I don't know, there's probably no air that everybody uses. There's no air that everybody uses. But anyway, I heard that I think he proved that there was a theory at least it could be done. But that's not the same kind of air that we have in a place here, in a place like Kine. And the idea, the reason why it's different is because according to many Rishonim, we don't have a real Rishus HaYachid, a real Rishus HaRabim anywhere here in Phoenix. Why not? Because aside from the specification I just mentioned, there is one more which is subject to a major machlokes. But according to some Rishonim, that you also have to have, in order to be a real Rishus HaRabim, it has to be like the camper, the way the Jews were in the desert. You have to have 600,000 people there. That was the population of the Jewish people. Well, it's interesting, but I thought in other ways it's not exactly 600,000, because one count was 603,550, he thought it was even roughly 600,000, and that was only men between 20 and 60. What about women? What about children? But anyway, this issue comes up, This the Gemara never mentions this on the list. That's Rashi quotes exactly. The Rambam doesn't mention it. Gedal, the Halacha of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam does not mention this requirement. But Rashi and Erev and Daphne and Tess, the Erev and Tess, where is the Daphne going after now? Yes, it is. Okay, wait, Tess. Okay, but some of I remember, Erev and Daphne and Tess, Rashi there says openly, and tells us in the beginning there, and above, closer to Mahadi Jeez, another son of my Jeez, that you have to also have 600,000 people. So a community such as ours over here, it's not that big, 600,000. There's also further 600,000 people when and where, all day, anytime. And as discussions, we'll come back to some of them. But this is a major issue. It means if you have an area within that town with 600,000 people. Now, if you have that, then it's going to bust up the area of the town. Like if you have a main thoroughfare, let's say that Broadway, they have that throng of people, so that could never be included, because that's a real issue for them. So if you have an area that's the question. You could not have an Eruv, the kind of Eruv that we have. Then you have to go back to this Dolosso system with actual walls or something that's more similar to that. You would not be able to have an Eruv like we have over here, in Hanami. This was a major question. This was the, North Franklin was opposed to Eruv in Manhattan. For this and other reasons. Others said, well, there are ways to set it up. But you're right, if you have it, this is a question of it may depend on neighborhoods. Do you have stoves there? And there might be some neighborhoods. Let's say we would potentially have a problem even in a place, probably not, we'll fall probably not. I'm saying that you have 600,000 people in an area or on a thoroughfare within that town. But you could have districts within Dallas or wherever else. But if you have main highways, whatever, that people travel through, you, those areas would not be able to include in the areas. You have to build the areas not including those areas. I don't think Route 4 has 600,000 people on a daily basis. But if it would, for the other reason not that we can't include Route 4 in the area, but if it would be 600,000 people, we could not include that area, because that would be a real issue for them. We don't have, let's say, from on this side of Route 4, that side of, we don't have any area, not even not Cedar Lane, not Pinnacle, none of the main drakes have 600,000 people there. So that's why we can talk about this kind of area. When you have somewhere on the west side of Manhattan, like Broadway, or some major thoroughfares there, we have, like you say, millions of people. But the area that you're trying to include, whether it's one street or five streets, I mean, is it frequented by 600,000 people? Right? I mean, do you have... No, so then you wouldn't be able to go to the area in that area because you spread out over several areas. I don't think that could be on any one street. I mean, if 600,000 people frequent an area, that area can't be included in the area, whether it's on one street or not. What do you mean? Yes. But there was... No, but I'm saying you can build an area. You can build an area, I think, in areas. But not in one. If there's one area, you ask how broad is defined as an area. How far, in other words, I'm not sure I understand. In other words, if you have as many as 600,000 people in that area, then that area is a real issue for London. That has to be a thorough. But if you're asking people are spread out over huge areas, I don't think that's a problem. No, that's okay. No, I think it's in one area. Does it have to be a thoroughfare? It's not a dim in a thoroughfare.
Right.
Right, like a highway. That's good. That's true.
The difference is that you don't have people in the town that's
often Saturday.
What is the message in
New York? No, I thought it was a good idea. Oh, is that true? I don't know, I thought
it was a good idea. You sure that it's a good war, or it wasn't good some years before? Or anything like that?
What Broadway is how much? There's a further question with the car. Yeah, but it's a Benzo. Yeah, it is. It's basically straight, yeah. Right. You got it in between, right? Right, I think it does. You can have an area in a city that has a population of over 600,000. You can have an area. Yeah, I think so.
As long as they're in the road.
One like area that's only 600,000 people that frequent daily, that interrupts it.
So you can't have an area where the thoroughfare is traffic
is 600,000. Right. Let's say in Europe, you had it in Warsaw. Warsaw had more than 600,000 people. There was an area in Warsaw. Warsaw, there was no there. For most of the other objectives to Manhattan, the problem is Brooklyn also, the Ocean Parkway, but it was also the same thing. Okay, so, that's straight. Was it boxed it off, right? Right, they boxed it out. Like you said, the trees should go out in the forest, so they had, they wouldn't go. Right, the truth of the matter is, there's something also called Derech HaMelech, but even if it doesn't have 600,000, it's a street that's designed to link different areas. For example, that's the problem with Route 4. Even if Route 4 doesn't have 600,000, but it's fundamentally meant as a means of getting from one town to another, so that's why Route 4 is not included in the area here. Same thing here. I mean, probably, I don't think Route 4 has that volume. I'm not sure. To do a survey, if you think about it, I'll be hard pressed to say that Route 4 has. Is that what it is today?
Yeah.
That's not such a big number. I don't know the numbers how many cars. You have to take a survey, but I don't think that there's 600,000 people daily on Route 4. I don't. At least not here. But anyway, that's another matter. But let's say throughout the course of that. Anyway, let me just mention the following. This whole issue of 600,000 is itself the subject of a major machlokes. Because some of the say the Rambam doesn't mention it, the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, the Taz, both quotes from the Maharshal, from others, the 600,000 is not a factor. You can have a Rosh Hashanah without that number. There's nothing to talk about. The others, the Shulchan is Mako on it. The Mishnah Yaakov made a big deal. Yaakov Kalina, the Mishnah Yaakov made a big deal about the Arab in Europe. He said they're all relying on this Kula, because none of the towns have 600,000 people, and he said that it's not brought in the Gemara, and it's a minority opinion. He made a big fuss about it. In fact, I didn't bring it, but in Nefesh HaRav, when I got the report on Rav Salvechik was a young boy, he went once to visit his grandfather, Chaim. It didn't happen any time, but one time he was by Rav Chaim in Brisk, and they went around to check the air or something, and made sure that everything was, followed the sheepers of Mishnah Yaakov. Mishnah Yaakov was Machmir. But others, and Mishnah Yaakov pounded against many of the Arabs in Europe, and he said it's not correct, so we're relying on what is their minority view. The Maisha, the Mishnah Berurah himself says, Mishnah Berurah himself is Machriya, that it's better to be Machriya. Well, Baal Hefer is to be Machriya and not rely on the Kula, but he does line up in the Bir HaLokhi, he had all their secrets, he comes out even. He comes out even among Rishon, all the Rishonim who feel that 600,000 is to be taken into account, all the Rishonim feel that 600,000 is not to be taken into account, and it comes out even, then the Shmir Sam Shulchasa, he lists more of the others, more who say that it's not a problem. Anyway, it's a major machlokes, and this is an issue that I think many people do rely on. That's cool in case not a real Rishon Rabban, in a community such as ours, or any suburban area, we don't have that volume of people traveling to it. So there also is a further question, the Maharshal brought up the question, what about There's got to be people on foot. What about in a car? Right, they have no roof for it. The roof for it, nobody's walking on the roof for it. Even if there's got many people traveling on the car, but they're in cars. And a car may have a unit of its own separate to say, okay, so Mela, how does it count? But others disagree because, again, in the Midbar, they had wagons also. There were people who rode on Argolas and so on. That does count, so that's a further question. Anyway, that's a major issue. I think many of the modern-day Arabs do rely on Maitre Makula. They would build an Arab because they don't have that number of 600,000. That's why it's not a real Sutherat. Again, even if an area is a real Sutherat, there's also a way to build an Arab, but that's through Jawsos, that's through doors, and that's a separate discussion. The Aruch HaKohen offers a tremendous chiddush that many disagree, or mostly disagree. He's in Sinan Hay, starting in the test, Duchav Hay. He says, if you look carefully, the lesson is Rishut HaRabim. He says, you know when you have a problem, you know, when something is defined as a Rishut HaRabim? When there is a street, a single street, that is called a Rishut HaRabim. You know, the Ha with a capital Hay, Hay Hayabir. The Rishut of the Rabim. There's one street in the town that everybody goes. You have these little courtyards, and that's how it just was in many old times. You know, you think about, let's say, in Meisar, right? You go, there's one street, Meisar, but there's a whole Meisar. Then in the back there, all these alleyways and courtyards, but there's one street, that Rishut HaRabim, or even sometimes, you know, up in the mountains, you know, these little, you know, Fulbury, little villages, right? There's one street that goes to, what is it, 42 or 52, these roads go right through, and they say, that's it, so there's a couple of houses on the side, and there's two back alleyways. So Aruch HaShulchan said, that's the Rishut HaRabim, the Rishut HaRabim, with a capital A, there's one street that everybody goes, everything else is more or less private, but our town's not made like that today. Our town is not one, there's no one street that's anymore, every site, every block that we live on is also anybody can travel. So therefore, that's another cooler that he presents to say that we don't have a real Rishut HaRabim today, because we don't have a Rishut HaRabim, have a real Rishut HaRabim. The most surprising thing I say in the school that other Achronim disagree with this cooler, but it's an original cooler from the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, so now we have an area. We've determined, let's say, that it's only a camelist, and we can take the camelist and we can transform it into a Rishut HaYachid. Again, the Gabbani now had a carry, so what do you do? So that's where we set up what we call an Erev. But it's important to understand that what we call Erev is a misnomer. The term is not, people think, oh, the Erev is them, as if the Erev is some kind of a structure. An Erev is not a structure. Okay, that's just the fine or the Yiddish expression or the Hebrew expression that we use. An Erev is never up or down, you know, an Erev is operational, I guess, but what do you do to make something into a Rishut HaYachid? So simple, you enclose it. So how do you enclose it? The number of ways you can enclose something. You can build a wall around it or a fence. I don't know if the town of Phoenix would be so delighted if they do to build a fence around the town. So if you're up there, sometimes there is a show, never for having for security reasons, but that's a valid. Many communities, I mean, we learned in our own school, as they travel, and especially in the, you know, so-called Shachim, you know, many towns have a fence around the whole town. There's a whole thing, there's a security gate, and something more than 10 fucking high, so the whole town is enclosed by a wall or by a fence or by a gate, and that would, even if it would be, as long as it's not a real estate around, again, with these towns aren't, so now the town is enclosed, it's perfectly okay to carry within that area. But that's not always feasible. What do you do with that? Again, if a person wants to make an area around his own property, or a couple of people together, and so you could not build a fence, you get a couple of homeowners together, or build one big fence. I guess in theory that's possible even here. But what about when we want to include a whole suburban area? Like, it's not really feasible to talk about putting up a fence around the whole town. So what we do is we put up what's called, we put up an imaginary fence. So let's think about it as Sufayoki for a second. Here we have a building near your house. So my house is surrounded, right? So I use a wall for the house, and I'll enclose the house. One of my front doors open. Now the whole house has been enclosed by, isn't surrounded because there's a door open. The answer is, that's okay, the house is still open. What if my front door, and my back door, what if I have closed doors, and they're all open? Okay, so halacha is that as long as you have more standing, almost the rural part, you have more standing than you have open, so that's considered that it's enclosed, unless it's a huge if you got. That's still considered enclosed. What the takana of Erevin, and we spoke about before from Shalom Melech, what the takana of Erevin is that we build, in effect, a fictitious wall around the city. And the real structure part of the Erevin is what's called a Surah HaPetach. A Surah HaPetach literally means a door frame. And you have what the Gemara calls Kana Mikan, the Kana Mikan, the Kana Al Gabehen. That's the Gemara Erevin Dati Dala. A post on one side, a post on the other side, a cross post. So it looks like a door frame. The only thing missing is a door. So we can walk in and out, right? There's nothing really there, but you have But they have a frame like that. Hey, look at any door frame in this room, any door frame in your house. You'll see that you have a lintel on the top, right? You know from Trump paper, for the blood on the doorpost. There's two sides and a cross beam, Connemicon, and cut out the base. So you build such a structure around the area you're trying to enclose, even though it's not a real wall, it's an imaginary wall, you can walk in and out, but it has a bit of a wall, because it's like I said before, if you have a house, so your doors are open, so I open the door, but it's still a doorway, there's a house that now I can go through. So here, the chiddush is, even if the whole thing is even doorways, and there's no actual door anywhere, that's the cooler for a place that's a carmelite. So the lady in the St. Mark's Cruiser, the little lady, and others explained, because this is a whole thing going off the ground, bottom of the forest, so sort of a hang-on with our bottom figure now in a carry, but they gave us an easy way. If you're dealing with an area that's a realistic around the rice, then you have to have a system back to real wall, like the Gemara says about Yisraelim. It'll go up to Yisraelim to have their gates, the walls around Yisraelim that were locked at night and so on and so forth. So that's where real is around the for a Rishus HaYach, something that's really a catalyst, it's not a realistic around, for whatever the reason. Either because it doesn't have 600,000, or if you don't want to rely on that cooler because it doesn't have any street that goes, any thoroughfare that goes straight from one end to the other. That's all. Whatever makes it lack the proper definition of the Rishus HaRabim, that's called a carmelite, you're not allowed to carry there, but the Chacham, he didn't tell me to the Chacham gave us a loophole, maybe you set up a wall, but it doesn't have to be a real wall, that's just the cooler, it has to be just an imaginary wall, which is a series of spirits of Pesach that go all the way around the town. That's the setup. Now, when you have a bungalow colony, or you have a camp up in the mountain someplace, that's exactly what they do. The bottom of charge will go around the outskirts of the area, you know, and put a post over here, and a post over here, and a wire or something, or a piece of wood on top, and they'll set up a series of these around the whole area, and that's that's enclosed, and that's the valley, so we call the area, again, it's a misnomer, but that's a series of, of tourist outside stuff. There's a question as to whether the Connemicon and the Connemicon, the two vertical posts, do they have to go all the way up to reach the horizontal post or not? That's my focus in one area of the Yidalot. The conclusion is, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch in the Mishnah Sanhedrin Gimel says Yidalot, it does not have to go all the way up as long as the side posts are 10 bachim high, let's say about 35 to 40 inches high, they don't have to actually physically reach the cross wire. Now if you're operating in a hotel in a bungalow, kind of you're building your own structure, it's not a problem. But this cooler becomes important for us because we're not going around here in Phoenix or anywhere else around here building posts and wood and with wires, and that's all we need to do, right? It'll cause a problem. So what do? We use already existing posts and wire and cross wires and other telephone poles. Okay, so what do? So you have lots of wires going all around the town, right? And you have posts that are holding the wires. So what we do is we will use these telephone poles and these cross wires to set up the Surah Sapesa. Now, it works out very, very well. If you ever take a look along Route 4, on the route, the eastbound lanes of Route 4, which is the sort of the northern border of the Arabian on the other side, you'll see that along Route 4, the posts are set up as telephone posts and their wires on the top. You can see they have these little metal things that stick a little bit above the wooden post, and then there's a wire that's attached to it. Next time we'll take a look. I found out when we were working years ago with the electric company, the phone company, those little metal things on the top of the technical name, they're called lollipops. That's what they call them. They're sticking out of the top of the post, and they're wired right above. The purpose of the whole pretty much, unfortunately right now they're doing construction in one place by Windsor, so that one of them is down, but basically you look along the eastbound range of Route 4, which again is the northern part of the area on the barren side of that community, and you can see every pole has wires above it. It's a series, one after the other. Yeah. I'm sorry? Yes. So now, I'll get that in a second. Yes, because the definition of the question. I've already said, no, you need to do it for a neighbor. Let's say this is the area you want to close, so put one post here, and one post here, and one post here, one post here, put a line and it's done. You know, but it'll be a set, right? So we'll come back to that point in a second. But you can, that's what we do. The problem is that in many areas, you look on outside, outside your house probably, you'll find many times the wires that are attached to the telephone pole are called minasan, from the side. They're not over the top of the telephone pole. They're affixed to the side. But, you can picture the telephone pole with the wires going across. They're not the top. Again, many areas do have it on top. That's good news for us when it's on top. When it's not on top, it's a problem because the halacha says clearly, it's konamikan, the konamikan, the konam al gadeh. That's to be on the top of it. So now, while we can use those wires, but there's got to be some kind of vertical post. So where's the vertical post? You can't count the telephone pole because the wire is affixed to the side of the telephone pole and not on top of it. So what do we do? So we just said before, the Gemara says, and the Sohar says, you don't have to have that the side posts go all the way up. So we'll take a piece of wood that is at least 10 fucking high, the standard wood, the ones we had are 40 inches, they're going to come, okay? And we attach that to the telephone pole directly under the wire. So now what actually is the konamita is not the phone pole itself, but this little wooden post that we call a lechi. Okay, so the lechi is directly underneath that coarse wire. And the Sabur explains the reason why the pasta doesn't have to go all the way up is we have a principle, again called good atik. A good atik mechitza comes in Erev and comes in Sukkot, that we will view it. That there's an imaginary, even though it's really only 10 fucking high, but we'll view it as if it extends all the way up until it hits the wire. And that's exactly what we do. We put these wooden dowels, I think they like to call technically in English, okay, on the side. It does, huh? Right. Okay, good. So I'm not an expert in these terms. Whatever they're called, good point. We put them on the side, and they're put directly under the wire. And that's called, we rely on this principle. Oh, so now we came to another problem. And that is the problem. What do you mean directly under? What do you mean directly? That's economy con, the kana al gabayim. What does that mean directly under? Directly under because it looks like that to me, looks like that to you, looks like that to the average passerby. Okay? Sometimes, I've learned this from experience, you know, it looks to me like it's under. You go up there and cherry picker, you'll see, you know, many telephone poles are bent a little bit, or, you know, especially if there's a car is left against it or whatever, or they're not really up straight to begin with. So maybe I'm going to fix this side lechi, this strip to the side, and it looks like it's under, but if you would actually, using a pull of gravity, you know, have an imaginary line, it would absolutely miss the coarse wire. So this is a question that, to my knowledge, is not dealt with in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, you love the use of them. We only put up here. It's much higher. I love it.
What I'm just saying is, within a bubble, within a 3-4
should allow
you to see anybody not directly under it. Doesn't
make it a 3-4. Oh, you love it. See, that's the question. What love would is, I've once heard this question of love with the sukkah, with the canvas sukkah, and the book. See, that's the point. What love would is, that we view something that's a 3-4. You know, there's a break, we'll view it that it's attached. But here it's a little different, because here it's not attached. Here you're applying love, and one could make a case, but I think it's a critic, because you're applying love, and you're saying, we'll use love to view it as if it is where it's supposed to be. That's what, you know, I some say that with the canvas sukkah, I spoke about it in some sukkahs, you know, that the issue is the blowing, that the seller here can't come with this whole system, the sukkah guys, you know, to hold in place. But anyway, so that whole sukkah, I think, I don't know if it's exactly connected, but somebody raised this issue, that it only blows 3 directions anyway, so it's lovered. Lovered, it's like a, so that's a funny application of lovered, because that's saying if you view it as if it's where it's supposed to be when it isn't, it's an extension of lovered. I mean, it's a stretch. No, but he's saying which one? He's saying which one? The width will be underneath. See, what we do, I'll come back in a second. So remind you, you have this left. So some person who can, this is a style of Europe, and, you know, I've spoken about Rabbanim and so on. There are Rabbanim who say that when, you know, the old tradition was we always, if it looks to the average person, if it looks like it's underneath, yeah, okay, you have to monitor, measure with the thing. They got a plumb line, huh?
Can you imagine being perpendicular
to
the ground?
What if
the whole post is crooked? I mean, you can have the
surface
tension.
No, but it's got, right, could be a little bit of angle, that's okay, but would this
extend the ray?
Yeah, right. It'd be like a plumb line. A plumb line. You have to drop a plumb line. It would be a plumb line.
But if you have a real room where a time is cut, but the time is 45 degrees.
Right.
And so it may be over it, but not over.
I don't think it's going to have to be. After the drop a plumb line. Yeah, so that, the truth of the matter is, sometimes you have a slanted, if you have a slanted post. So I remember once reading, I was just telling my wife, I think, and I may be wrong, but I think of Alan Cutler, they say in Lakewood was make up to a 45 degree angle. I don't know where that comes from, why, but that's, I believe I once heard. Okay, I'm not sure. But anyway, the one position is, it goes by what it looks like. The other one is, no, you have to actually drop a plumb line, you know, the full gravity, and figure out. So how do you do that? So that, we tried that here, now you have a laser, you know, which you can angle and make sure you have that little bubble in the middle that's exactly straight. This is up to, and that's very, very cumbersome. So we found much easier to simply not to rely on good optic and just build the side post straight up to the thing, and there's no timer. And that's it. And so that's how most of it's done around here. We don't rely on that good optic. We simply put the strip all the way up. The only thing is here, what we do is, you know, for a number of reasons, we run the bottom 10 falcon by us are wood, the 40 inches of a piece of wood, and then we take a plastic strip. Many times telephone poles have attached to them, not because of us, but plastic strips, you know, whatever, in case there's wires or in case there's something or other. So we put these plastic strips, they're very unobtrusive. Remember last year, some guy called up and complained that he didn't like it. You know, the certain people in the town were always getting the air committee a hard time. A neighbor, you know, called up and complained about he doesn't like this plastic wire. And I got a call, what's with this wire? Well, I said, look, it wasn't even our part, it wasn't our thing. I said, probably got a call to some company. It has nothing to do with not even a pole that we use. You know, so maybe then he was upset about it. It must be in the cable company or whatever. Now with the computer, there's so many wires and so many strips up there. So that's what we do over here with the mic, so we don't rely on this good optic. We let the, we send the thing all the way up. No, it has to meet one wire. The you who are walking by have to know where it is on, but I do. And it has to be that one wire is picked up. You know, really, because sometimes, you know, again, you'd be surprised, sometimes wires stop, and then another one takes over. Yeah, you have to see. It should go all the way to the ground, the bottom one. But again, they will ride, they can ride well, but it's a 3 truck and walk the ground. And but really, it's better to get it into the ground. Yes, the bottom wooden post is on the ground, yes. Yeah, we're going to ride. Want to see the plastic the whole way? Yeah, so that's interesting. So now we'll come to the part of that. I believe someone told me in Baltimore that the Heinemann's era is the plastic all the way. That's right. So the thing is like this. Jeff asked before, how far apart that should be? Because then we can build an air on any air, just put up 4 posts, you know, and the enclosure was on enclosure. The answer is that the wood you hang, some kind of a door, actual door there, it has to be strong enough to support what's called the Delatel cot. Like, you know, a lightweight material through a roof material, through ordinary weather conditions. In other words, it has to be far enough, not so far apart, it's miles apart. So you can't call that a real door frame because there's nothing you could hang up there that wouldn't collapse. So how close does it have to be? So again, there's no halakha in Sinai, theoretically it has to be strong enough to be able to support a delicate cot. And each side beam, so to speak, has to be enough to support it. So what we align here, as Dr. said, is more or less the equivalent of a city block. Now where do you get that from, you know, and I'm talking about, it, well, that's, you know, you can strip something away, some kind of a plastic, you know, like a blue or construction plastic, or a little say up. So that's just, is it a halakha or is it actually a city block, a block in there? No, but that was the amount. So every couple of poles, we put up another one. Okay.
I remember going
to work
in the
middle of
the
room, the tank,
anything like that. What is
supporting
the dollar
per cap? No, because the telephone pole will be part of it. The telephone pole, right. So that piece, whatever, well, that piece is, you know, those two pieces together would hold something if you were to bring it up.
So
that's, yeah, wood, right, but with the phone call it will. So that's what...
If you use the front here, you don't have to use the phone. If you use the front here,
right. Like around the bungalow kind of camp, but you have to put it close enough that it would actually be able to support something. No, okay, but I think if you go to a bungalow kind of, you know, hotel, there is every couple of yards to have another one. Because that is, no? Far apart, yeah. Okay, I don't want to question, but, you know, depends how high it is, I guess. Also, now what the material. But I know in many of the camps that I, you know, we saw that every couple of yards, they put up another post. you know, they put a little chicken wire in their clothes. I get that also. Okay, that's a further my focus. That's my, so, but getting back to Yitzchak's question, so the chapter thought that the wood, a wooden, I don't understand, to me the plastic is at least as strong as the wood, especially combined with the telephone pulpit. He said the wood at least it blends in better, it becomes more like one unit, which was a painting, it becomes more like one unit, because at least the bottom 10 pulpit, which is really the left itself, should be almost to look like a real extension of the telephone pole. Today, one could argue, I thought, from near the 90 mountains, that the plastic also is part of the telephone pole, but it is a different material. That's how we do it here. I think other areas don't necessarily follow that. But that's the issue that the, so, that's one issue you raised. Now, if you ask about the staging, I mean, there's so many other issues. You ask about the staging, so that's a further question. Does the Kana al-Gabayan also have to be strong enough to support it? There's also the same rules that the Sunnah Gemara indicates that the Kana al-Gabayan doesn't have to be. It's called, even so, Gemi can be very, very light. The question is, how much can it stay? That was another chumra that the Mishnah Shakir had. They created another type, because it's going to look like a door frame, right? Door frame, the top lintel doesn't stay. Okay, so that's the question, why is this stag, and, you know, how far is the stag, and, you know, so some say, again, certainly, you know, certainly, well, the, or whatever, so some say more than 10 Tefachim shouldn't stay. We try, you know, that's, we try and keep it tight, so you, as my mice, you know, during the course of the winter, there's storms, and this and that, and why is there, do a stag a little bit. So it's a stag, go all the way down. So there are a couple of times we had a session here, I thought for sure you'd say it was all good, look at that, you know, he said, you can fix it, but it's not the urgent. You know, yeah.
Would you say that it's not straight?
Right, it doesn't have this.
Because there are, I mean,
which is an art. Yeah, different art. I know. See, the Gemara calls it, they have these unusual types of doors, but that's not considered, you know, a normal door frame. I mean, we, for example, what about a slanted wire? What if it's perfectly taught, but it's in this pole is higher than this pole? So also, the person would say it's no good because that's the way to make a door frame. But in some modern type homes, it's on the contrary. They have, they do have, right, that's a thing. You've seen it. So I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure if they're posting on this, yeah.
A lot of them
have to do with
different
patterns. Right. So, by the left, you
always do
on my
tool.
Well, yes, yes, it's too high, right. The 20 ounces is extraordinarily high, I mean, so, yes. Let me mention another thing that we have also that's discussed in the talk to you guys, because I really want to get to something else too. There is something which is also helpful, as Machokas and the Chazanish accepted, and the Chazanish is in the Machra and Arab, the cool of the Chazanish, so we certainly take it, something called Tachos. Sometimes you have a wire, telephone pole wire is drilled through the telephone pole, because you know it goes right through the pole. Pole continues up, but there's a, so the question is that called al-gabayan? Because in a certain perspective, it is al-gabayan. On the other hand, it's not, because the other pole is dead. So what the telephone make on this, because let's say I have a telephone wire and a post and a telephone wire, whatever regular wire that I drilled over it, and that becomes a source of it. And then I put up another thing on top of it. That was possible? No. We simply say, Dal Mehapa. We remove the third part. So therefore, many rely on, and sometimes that's helpful here, because they're also putting anything up there, when you have this, when the wire goes all the way through, just make sure it goes through it to correct it straight. And that brings me to another point. You asked before about how often you have to have them. So the answer I gave is, theoretically, you only have to have four. That's if the area is straight. But you see, very often you have border streets, let's say River Road here, it's a very windy street. So you can't have, if I have a telephone pole here, a telephone pole here, another over here, you can't, so the road bends like this, so door frames don't work like that, door frames don't bend. So anytime there is a bend, anytime there's an angle, you have to put up another post, because that's the end of that one and the beginning of the next one. Now, if the street is straight, like some, you know, for example, we come up, I'm not going to do that anymore, like we came up Newbridge, now it goes all the way to, I forgot what the street's called, right in the Milford, the Graphic Boulevard, I think, it's pretty straight. So you have a straight street, so then your question comes to play, because it's straight, so then we put it every two or three poles. Let's say three poles, maybe we'll put up, you know, because of that issue, but what it is to know that when it bends, how much does that depend? That's a further question. What's that? Right, that's the question. Did it go by that? Was it
come
by
camera? Well, it was the Rome Church. Doesn't exclude the area.
Okay, you want to box out that area, yeah. But if people are going to walk on the sidewalk, though, you know, then,
no.
Yeah, right, okay, correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
the tunnel
wire itself. Right, so the wire itself can't count as the tunnel you're there. You see, what you're saying is okay if I can have a wire that goes straight, but the wire itself then, that's no good. Because you have three poles, so pole 1, 2, 3,
the wire is knowing the...
If you had sometimes you do have it. I remember again the real difference, sometimes you have where pole 1 to pole 3, there will be straight, and then you'll be okay, that's where it'll touch right there, but it can't. But, right, yeah, but sometimes, very often the wires just flow around. You have to be aware of that also. I remember hearing once that a rectangle thought that how much of a turn is a turn, right? How much is a bend? I mean, so the Rosetta told here, that doesn't look like a bend. He said, it looks like this, a bend. But somebody told me, I may have even discussed with him in person, a rectangle had a chiddush that it was up to 22 degrees, which is a pretty big bend. He said, you don't have to put up another thing. I don't think we definitely don't rely on that here, but his Gemara was a very interesting Gemara for the scientists here. The Gemara says in Sukkim that before they had watches, how do you tell time? See, after the sun, right? It says Adam Torah the Zahachas. You can be off by an hour by the angle of the sun. So I think he figured out the difference, the angle. He figured out it. I guess no, the difference in the angle in terms of what was produced by the sun. The amount of shade from 1 hour to another is 22 degrees or something along those lines. So that was his creative. I don't know if that's very creative. I don't know if that's relied upon. 15? I forgot the amount. That was a copy, but I don't think we don't rely on that here. The other thing just to mention is steady wires, slanted wires, because it's not considered a normal door. Okay. Well, let's say you now constructed, we're going to move to wrap up. Now you've constructed your quote-unquote error, again, it's at this moment, I'm not going to do the error. Okay? Now, you have to make the error. Once you've called the error, you say, okay, there's a different problem. Because this might be a Rishus Hayokim. But guess what? I live here, you live here, and everybody else lives here. And I have my home is separate from your home. So picture an apartment building. Okay, if an apartment building, it's enclosed, there's a building there, it is enclosed. Right? So everybody in the apartment building, officers and everybody else, because, you can't just walk into my house, I can't walk into your house. So that's part of the Jared Rabbanan, you can't carry in my own apartment, I can carry. But in the common thoroughfare, like there's a hallway, there's a lobby, you can't carry, and so I can't just, carry from my apartment to your apartment. That's part of the Jared Rabbanan, that all the residents, and that's in the Gemara and Erevin, now the Adopt Yomi Blaring, is the officer on his shoulder. So what do you do? That's the Erev. What happens? You go around, whatever, stop with everybody, you ask everybody for a roll, or a pizza, or whatever, some kind of food, and it's kept in one apartment within the hotel, within the courtyard, and everybody, in effect, has the right to go and they get his piece of my food is in your house, so we're all one big happy family. Now it's one area. So that's really the Erev Chatzer. That's the Erev. The Erev is the food. And the Erev Chatzer is combines all these courtyards into one, and there is a food, and you can do it every Erev Shabbos. Or, if you want to save time, you can do it, it can work from one Shabbos to the next. What's done today, we don't go to everybody in Erev Shabbos at any time and ask everybody for a roll. Basically, we take a box of matzahs, and so before about Hecker, we should know that on the in Beth Aaron there's a box of matzahs, and on this side of the Neuberger's home there's a box of matzahs with what's that? Oh, yeah. Oh, now they're out of them. Okay. They moved it? Yeah. Right, okay. I'm not sure what I thought they moved it back in, but okay, we'll clarify that before the next map goes out. Anyway, in general, right. So that's how it works, because it's big. What do you mean? Isn't everybody supposed to contribute? Is everybody supposed to contribute? So we have a din called Zachalotim called upon him. One person contributes to everybody. Right? He's going to be Mazaka, the whole people. Right? If you give it to somebody who's not part of his household, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we spoke about Erev Tafshilin. The rabbi makes Erev Tafshilin, he counts other people. So how does it work? So I know I myself, when I make Erev Tav Shema, I summon, get over one of the neighbor's kids, over by Mikra, and give him the egg and the plate for the egg and the matzah, and he now he acquires on behalf of anybody who's going to need that Erev Tav Shema. That's what says, Lana L'chala Adar Me'erazot. The same idea by Erev Chatzir, one person does it, they keep the matzah, and they redo it every year, Erev Pesach, just so we should redo it, so people should be aware of it. That's the real Erev. The real Erev is the food. The wire, what? There's no fear for that, no, not for this. Yeah, right, everyone has to have the air pool is based on the fear.
The air pool is no fear.
Right. It doesn't matter because of right. For this place, theoretically, you can go any time and eat it. So if you're hungry, you can go to Newberger's house and get your piece of mouth. So that's the idea that enables us now to chat. However, this is the last point, all of that only works. What about the fact that there are many non-Jews, and there are many non-religious Jews and so on, or didn't consider it and so on, that becomes a problem also, right? So what are we going to do with a city in a bundle of constants, all the people are religious Jews? So, okay, we can work it out, but many times, you know, we live in a town that many non-Jews are here, we have to get official permission, what's called Tiras Rishus. We have to get permission from the other people. I'm not going to have you do it. You can go, the host can talk about going to the poet, the chief, you know, the owner, the land, the nobleman who owns the land. You give him, and you rent it from him. You give him a dollar or whatever it is, and you rent this area, and now that gives us access rights, so to speak, with his permission, even to people who don't even know about it, because they're subjected to it. In a democracy, so there's a question exactly how the it used to be, I don't know what the constitutional law is, but it used to be in other countries with a monarchy, so the king would have the right to station soldiers quartering. Right? The king could tell you, you got to put up these soldiers out for 2 weeks. You don't like a cup, we'll put them in your house. And in a certain sense, therefore, the king or the nobleman, whoever it was, owned, you know, had rights to station people out in the United States quartering, so it used to, where originally was, right? What's that? Eminent domain. You don't have to think so. They do have eminent domain. They can run through the highway or something like that. They can. So who do you go to? The federal government, right. So that's the question. So who do you go to today in a democracy? So the accepted view is you go to the police department, theoretically, can actually order you out of your home, okay, for some reason for it, I guess, for that. And so what was done generally today, what we did here, we went to the chief of police in these communities and to the mayor. I read someplace that the school in Washington, you know, they went to the Washington D.C. So what exactly is Washington D.C.? He got from the mayor and from the president and from the very different governmental officials. What we do is we give a dollar and we explain. I remember going around with a Newberger, you know, and we knew it every, I don't know, every 20 years, every 10 years, whatever it was. So now you have a T-neck when we go to the Newberger. So we went to, I remember one, I'm trying to explain it to the people. And one guy absolutely did not want to take the dollar bill. He didn't want to see his name in the paper later. He took a bribe from the Jews. You know, so we explained to him, you know, and I remember he was extremely careful. I guess he wanted to run for political office. So he photocopied the bill, I signed the thing, the bribe, whatever it was. It was like, you know, but that's what we do. That's called the spirit of the when you have all of that in place. So then it becomes, you know, then you're allowed to carry. What's that? Yeah. Right. So dollar is not a big deal. Yeah. Right. I guess what you fine, I'm sure I didn't think there was any problem, you know. But it's just a story, just he was nice about it. He said no, he doesn't need it, it's okay, he'll give permission with a handshake. He just didn't want to touch that off. Didn't want to risk anything, you know, because I guess even if it's allowed, if it's all for the papers, you know. I don't think he was necessarily really worried about that. But Lemaitre said, that's who lovely, it's went and explained. So we have authority from the police. Also, it's important just to be aware that, you know, we also, you know, the phone poles are property of the telephone company or sometimes the electric company. So, you know, and you're not, even though officially you're not even allowed to put up the sign lost cat, you know, because officially you're not allowed to do that. Okay? So that's their makeup. But when you start banging things in, certainly, you know, there are issues, and one of the things we did here, we worked everything out, we got official permission, I know this is before my time already, you know, with the phone company and everything. Well, recently, one of the things they did is very interesting. They asked us, and we had a good relationship with the, you know, the phone company and the electric company, they asked us that the wooden, the bottom wooden things were like, they were square, and they asked us to round them. If you ever look on a telephone pole now, a lot of the wood and stuff, certainly the wires are all rounded. I guess it's software the guy has to work on there or whatever. He can hurt himself. So we went around, we put up, within the last couple of years, we replaced, I don't know if we're done it yet, we replaced many of the lefties on the bottom, you know, with rounded rounded wood. I guess they consider that a safety consideration. So usually, in our Baruch Hashem, in our country, we're able to usually get along. They allowed us in a couple of places where there are no wires to put up. You know, we have our own wires that are put up, because some places, you know, that there are telephone poles there, people have moved in. Anyway, Erevin is a very complex subject. I think from time to time it's worth it to go over it. Again, I don't have time to read things inside like I usually like to do, because I want to cover these are basic points of Erevin, and we should be aware that it's not such a simple matter to have it. Erevin, Baruch Hashem, you know, as a lot of people would work on it, checked every week, and there's lots of questions, when is the best time to check it? You know, we generally, for some of the Achronim nights, you shouldn't check it any earlier on Friday, so you have to make sure that it's up. But sometimes now, in this time of the year, we recommend it, I want to recommend it to the person who checks, you check on Thursday afternoon, because if you check on Friday, and it's a problem, you know, it's not going to be all time to fix it. In summertime, it's usually Friday's a longer day. Huh? What's that? Right, that's the point. So, right, so that's what some of that woman raised that problem. Yeah, well, then we'll finish up.
So, why is this again,
right, but their ownership, so to speak, offers the actor. So they have a share. They have a share in the public areas. They're included. Right? Right, but in the whole area, you can't call the area with Sufa Yachid if there are people there who are quote unquote Maksid. They don't want you in there. They don't accept you.
Oh,
they do. They're included. They're home.
Yes. People that live in the building,
mm-hmm. Each
have some right to use
for that project. Right.
But in a town,
anybody
who's
coming to the
community has nothing
to do
with
owner.
My lady
is
seen
as
doesn't
do anything. Right.
Anyone
right to vote for. No, then if someone came from outside, you have it. You are including the Genesis, but their homes are included in the Rishuth Hayachid. You're now including, they have exclusive rights over their home. Like inside. Well, in theory, the way the air works is you could. In theory. You have to box it out. You have to box it out. Right.
Exclude my
yard. Right, so that could mess up the whole thing. Right. So you could avoid the problem by boxing his area out. But you have to build a thing around to box it out. Okay, there are many other issues, by the way. We only talked on some of the issues, but those are some of the highlight issues. I guess about.